Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 20. The chapter is entitled The Lord Instructs Sanatana Goswami. So last Sunday, Sukha Krishna Prabhu covered text 276. And today we go from 277 because they're virtually unpurported up until 289. And so we'll speak on 289. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Did I say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya yet? Okay. Ami Paran Manush. Okay. So I'll try my best. I've been living in Bengal for 16 years. One would think that I might be able to chant Bengali properly. So I'll try my best. I've been in an English medium cocoon there. So Sarvatattva mili Shijila Brahmandera Gana Ananta Brahmanda Tara Nakilka Ganana. Combining all the different elements, the Supreme Lord created all the universes. Those universes are unlimited in number. There's no possibility of counting them. Inho Mahat Shrashta Purusha Mahavishnu Nama Ananta Brahmananda Brahmanand Tanra Loma Kupe Dama. The first form of Lord Vishnu is called Mahavishnu. He is the original creator of the total material energy. The innumerable universes emanate from the pores of his body. Gavakshe udiya yache venu asheyaya purusha nishvasha saha brahmanda bahiraya punarapi nishvasha saha yaya adyantara ananta aishvarya tanra sabha maya para. These universes are understood to be floating in the air that Mahavishnu exhales. They are like atomic particles that float in the sunshine and pass through the holes of the screen. All these universes are thus created by the exhalation of Mahavishnu, and when Mahavishnu inhales, they re-enter his body. The unlimited opulences of Mahavishnu are completely beyond material conception. Just comment on that last sentence. The unlimited opulences of Mahavishnu are completely beyond material conception. Srila Prabhupada, I believe it's in chapter 2 of the 10th canto, cites the commentary of Jiva Goswami and makes the point that unless one can accept achincha. Achincha means beyond logic and reason. Chincha means logic, and achincha means beyond logic and reason. So unless one can accept achincha in the Supreme, then one can't accommodate a conception of the conception of God. So there's this achincha factor, and we'll be getting it full on in the forehead today, you know, in this section. And so also relevant is to this discussion is Srila Prabhupada's introduction to Ishopanishad, where he makes a presentation on Vedic knowledge and the Vedic means of knowledge acquisition. And he first starts by describing the defects of the conditioned soul. Anybody know what they are? In Sanskrit and English. For extra pieces of burfi, if you can say the Sanskrit too. Go ahead, Pro. Yeah, okay. Do you know the Sanskrit for that? Brahma. Not Brahma, but Brahma. Okay? That means to make mistakes, yeah. I think it's spelled similarly. I'm not sure. I'd have to check. You got me on the spot. But I think the diacritics are slightly different than Brahma. Brahma. I think the it's a long A over the first A. And then it's Brahma, not Brahma. Okay? Go ahead, next. Okay, do you know what that Sanskrit is? Huh? Did your imperfect senses say something, Mataji? No. I couldn't hear. My imperfect senses couldn't hear. I still can't hear. Okay, Karnapatava. Karnapatava means imperfect senses. Yeah. Karna. I think there's a short A before the N, so it's not Karna, like in the ear. Go ahead. Okay, which one is that? No. Pramada. Yeah. That also is used to describe inattentive chanting. Pramada. Yeah, pramada. That's used by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Harinand Chintamani to describe inattentive chanting. And in the ninth canto, I better not say this one. No, okay, I won't say that one. I got in trouble last week. Okay, last class. Go ahead, bro. You know the Sanskrit in it? Vipralipsa, yeah. Vipralipsa means the cheating propensity. Vipralipsa. And thank you, Prabhu. That's presenting. Prabhupada in Nectar of Ishopanishad introduction says that one is presenting himself as something that he's not. He's saying that I'm actually very intelligent, but he's fool number one. And so there are three bases. There's more, but these are the ones that Prabhupada cites as the main means of knowledge acquisition in the Vedic tradition. Pratyaksha, praman. Praman means proof. This is based upon sensory perception. Okay, so we've already covered the fact that there's some limitations there because of the imperfections. Okay, then there's Anuman Praman. Okay? And this is, the basis is actually sense perception, but then on the basis of the, you know, empiric observations that the senses are making, one theorizes, comes to conclusions, right? So the, like scientific theory would be Anuman Praman. Okay, so there's limited validity to these types of proofs, okay? And then the superior means of knowledge acquisition is Shabda Praman, right? Okay, this is knowledge that comes from the highest authority, the Supreme Lord, the breathing of Lord Narayan, right? This is where Vedic knowledge, the source of Vedic knowledge. So it's infallible. It doesn't contain the defects of you know, the conditioned soul. So it deserves a level of respect and faith that is beyond our chintya, right? Beyond our logic and reason. Let me go a little further, and then I'll give you an example of this. Okay, where are we now? Okay, here is a Brahma Samhita. Okay, Yashyaikanishvashita kalam atavalam bhaja jivanti loma vilaja jagarandananta Vishnur mahan saiha yasya kala vishesho govindamadi parusham tamaham bhajami. Translation. The Brahmas. Yeah, that's the way it is. There's a long A on Brahma, and there's a long A on Brahma. Okay? The Brahmas, and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu. If you look on the purport, Madhugopal of 273 of this chapter, you'll see that the living entities also come from the pores in the purport, as Prabhupada says. Usually we hear, we're thinking that the universes emanate from the pores of Mahavishnu, but here there's something that's a little bit achincha. Lord Brahma and other lords of the material worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu. Usually we think in terms of the glance of Mahavishnu. This is usually what we see. And then in 273, as he will confirm in the purport, Prabhupada said, all living entities come from the pores. Achincha. Okay, the Brahmas and other lords of the mundane world appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion. Purport. This is a quotation from the Brahma Samhita for an explanation referred to Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 71. Samashta Brahmana Ganera Inho Antaryami. I'm still chanting the Brahma Samhita meter. Okay, so I gotta get back to my Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita meter. Okay. I was hiding behind the door when Krishna handed out musical ability, and I'm having trouble shifting gears here. And he didn't see me. what's the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Samasta Brahmananda Ganera Ihan. Now that's still Brahma Samhita. See what I mean? Okay, samasta brahmanda ganera inho antaryami kanara karana Dishyasi Sabajagatera Swami. Mahavishnu is a super soul of all the universes lying in the causal ocean. He is a master of all material worlds. Aita kahilun patama purushera tatva nvitiya purushera ebe shunaha mahatva. I have thus explained the truth of the first personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. I shall now explain the glories of the second personality of Godhead. Se Purusha Ananta Koti Brahmana Sri Jiya Aikaika Mutye Praveshila Bahu Murti Hana. After creating the total number of universes which are unlimited, Mahavishnu expanded himself into unlimited forms and entered into each of them. Pravesh Kariya Deke Shaba Andakara Rahite Nahika Stana Karela Vichara. When Mahavishnu entered each of the unlimited universes, he saw there was darkness all around and that there was no place to stay. He therefore began to consider the situation. Ijanga Sweda Jale Brahmana Brahmadarda Barila Sejale Shesha Sayadya Shayana Karila. With the perspiration produced from his own body, the Lord filled half the universe with water. They then lay down on that water on the bed of Lord Shesha. Okay, I'll tell a little pastime. How many of you know Sadaput Prabhu? Okay, he is a famous ISKCON devotee. He's gone to the spiritual world now. I think he left his body about 2 years ago. He's a brilliant personality. He was one of the main, kind of one of the pillars of the Bhaktivedanta Institute that Srila Prabhupada established to challenge atheistic scientists, right? And get momentum in that preaching. And he wrote Mechanistic and Non-Mechanistic Science. He wrote Vedic Cosmography and Astronomy. And then he co-authored Forbidden Archaeology and the hidden history of the human race with Dhritakarma Prabhu. Those two books he co-authored. And I had the good fortune of serving with him in the same temple. He was on the BTG staff. This would have been 81 to 83. In Philadelphia, BTG was situated there. And I would see him. You know how sometimes, like Mataji still make flower arrangements during Bhagavatam class, and sometimes you'll see people that have artistic talents, they'll draw little, that's when Mataji is always drawing these beautiful pictures of Krishna and Mayapur during Bhagavatam class. So Sadaput would sit there, you know, and his doodling, like these like huge equations, you know, that would fill page after page of his notebook. This is what he'd do during a Bhagavatam class, just, you know, keep awake, I guess. You know, so, I saw this information that there were 20 years ago or 25 years ago, that there were 10 people on the planet that actually understood Einsteinian relativity, and Sadaput was one of them. Okay, so really super, super duper genius, really, you know, gifted by Brihaspati. And so one time I was going on a preaching engagement with him, and as we were riding in the car, this engagement, I asked him, Sadaput Prabhu, based upon the level of education that you went through prior to becoming a devotee, do you think that that made it more difficult for you to take up Krishna consciousness? And he said, yeah. Because most devotees, when they join, they have to deal with maybe one or two major doubts. But I had thousands and thousands and thousands of them that I had to process. Because, you know, his whole education was in science and mathematics and, you know, pratyaksha, anuman, praman, you know, to the max, much more so than most people. And like now in India, about 90% of boys and girls that go into university, they go into the fields of technology and science because that's what makes money. You know, India's like really, you know, wants the rupee. So families, you know, because that's how you get married. You know, the more money you got, you know, the more prestige and the better wife you get, you know. So they're all thinking like this, you know, the Indian, right? Is that right? Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of pretend like I have mystic powers, you know, meet some Indian gentleman, you know, like on a flight or something, and I start the conversation, "You're an engineer, am I right?" So how did you know? I mean, it's not too hard to figure out because 99% of the people that leave India are engineers, right? 90% of IIT graduates, that's kind of the Caltechs or the MITs, or I don't know if there's an equivalent in Europe because they're more of the humanities, or like maybe the Oxfords of India. 90% of them upon graduation leave India and go overseas. 5 years ago, you know, anyone that would get to America, their starting salary would be $250,000. So qualified. And now many of them are becoming brahmacharis in ISKCON, India. All glories to Radhanath Swami and his crew of surrendered recruiters. Okay, so it's a significant point. Again, one has to be willing to accept achincha in the Supreme in order to accommodate a conception of God. So you can imagine, you know, how far Sataput had to stretch his intelligence in order to surrender to the Supreme Lord, which this is all about. This is what we're dealing with today. We're learning how to, you know, cut through all the mental programming that we've gotten so that we can take up pure bhakti. Right? Everybody on board so far? Anybody upset with me yet? Okay, just wait. The class isn't over. Okay. We want to make things exciting, you know, so no one falls asleep. Okay. Let's see, where are we now? Okay, so with the perspiration produced from his own body, the Lord half filled the universe with water. He then lay down on that water on the bed of Lord Shesha. Okay, big bang, you know. That's what the scientists say. That's the best explanation, the big bang. That's also pretty absurd when you really, that's like really on the achincha platform. That, you know, I would use this example when I would meet a scientist in the airport when I would distribute books. Did I tell this story before? Okay, you sure? Okay. I would say to him, "Sir, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. There were major headlines in the New York Times 18 years ago when just before John Fitzgerald Kennedy Airport opened. There was this massive explosion, and all of a sudden this airport appeared. There was no architect, there was no construction and engineer, there was no supervisor of a construction team. It just, it appeared." Did you see those headlines, sir? He kind of looks at me. What are you talking about? You're kind of a nut. And what about your body? How did that manifest? You know, I mean, actually, your body is probably, you know, at least 1,000, if not 1,000,000 times more complex than this airport structure. You know, I mean, airport's got its electrical conduits and its plumbing facilities, and you got your plumbing facilities, and you got your nervous system, but the degree of complexity in your body and in your nervous system, vastly greater than what's in this airport. And you want me to believe that there was a Big Bang, and then, you know, some very simple cells developed, and then gradually, you know, by what is it called? Selective, what was that? Natural selection, okay. That we've got you now, you know, that's how you got here? You want me to accept this? Give me a break, buddy. Okay, you know, usually I could get him to take the book, you know, just because it doesn't make any sense, you know? And so this may not make sense to, you know, Prabhu, did you go to IIT? Oh, okay. Where did you go? Where did you go to school? In Calcutta, University of Calcutta? Then you entered the business arena.
I'm sorry?
Oh, you're a musician. Acha, okay. Very good. So you could help me out with the Bengali then, because you did okay, huh? Not bad for an American. Okay, all right, thank you. Need all that encouragement I can get. I'm just trying to recover from the last class. Okay. This is American humor, sorry. Tanra Nabi Padma Haite Utila Eka Padma Se Padme Haila Brahmara Janma Sadma. A lotus flower then sprouted from the lotus navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That lotus flower became Lord Brahma's birthplace. Wow. Achincha, huh? Se Padma Nale Haila Choda Bhuvana Tenho Brahma Hana Shristi Karela Srijana. In the stem of that lotus flower, the 14 worlds were generated. Then he became Lord Brahma and manifested the entire universe. Notice that last sentence. Then he became Lord Brahma and manifested the entire universe. So this is the manifestation of the guna avatar, right, of Lord Brahma. Is Lord Brahma Vishnu Tafa, Ajiva Tafa? That's correct. A very pious and devotional Jiva Tafa at that, to be empowered as he was. Okay. Vishnu Rupa Hana Kare Jagat Falane Gunatita Vishnu Sparsha Nahi Maya Sane. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Vishnu maintains the entire material world. Since he is always beyond the material qualities, the material nature cannot touch him. Okay, this is today's verse. Okay, so anyway, I think we've maybe had a high dosage of Bengali so far, so maybe we won't chant this responsibly. Okay, we'll just go ahead. Okay, translation again. Let's repeat the translation. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of Vishnu, maintains the entire material world. He is always beyond the material qualities. The material nature cannot touch him. The influence of the material energy cannot touch Lord Vishnu as she touches Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Therefore, it is said that Lord Vishnu is transcendental to the material qualities. The incarnations of the material qualities, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, are under the jurisdiction of the external energy. Lord Vishnu, however, is different. In the mantras of the Rig Veda, it is said, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Rig Veda, Samhita 1:22-20. The words Parama Padam indicate that he is transcendental to the material qualities. Because Lord Vishnu is not within the jurisdiction of the material qualities, he is always superior to the living entities who are controlled by the material energy. This is one of the differences between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. Lord Brahma is a very powerful living entity, and Lord Shiva is even more powerful. Therefore, Lord Shiva is not accepted as a living entity, but at the same time, he's not to be considered on the level of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Rupahana Kare Jagat Palane Gunatita Vishnu Sparsha Nahi Maya Sane. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Vishnu maintains the entire material world. Since he's always beyond the material qualities, the material nature cannot touch him. How is the Supreme Personality of Godhead being always beyond the material qualities relevant to you and me? Anybody? How is that particularly relevant to us? This is, you know, this is interesting tattva, but how is it relevant in your day-to-day life, Bhakta Rami? I know you weren't paying attention, that's why I called on you. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you in this spot. Don't want to get anybody mad at me. How is the Supreme Personality of Godhead being always beyond the material qualities relevant to you? And if you don't know, Bhagavati does. So better think quick. Okay, Mataji, go ahead. Okay. Any more relevancy in your life? Janava Leela, Mataji? Okay, and then what happens if we take shelter of the Lord? Then that's correct. Because he's completely transcendental. If we worship him and serve him, then that also becomes our destination. Right? Okay, you with us now? Okay. So one may question, you know, I mean, based upon what Sataput's response was to my question, you know, about was it more difficult for him to take up Krishna consciousness than less scientifically educated devotees? And he said yes. then one might wonder, well, why is this such a prominent part of Shastra? Krishne Swadhamo Pagate. What is it? Let's see. Oh, Krishna, I completely forgot the sloka. Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Ganadibi Saha Kalo Nashta Dushamesha Purano Puranaka Puranako Dinodita. So this Bhagavat Purana has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion and knowledge. Those persons who've lost their vision due to the dense darkness of Kali Yuga shall get light from this Purana. It's risen just like the sun. I think that was part of the translation too. Okay, so now this is Suta Goswami glorifying the Bhagavatam and also glorifying Srila Vyasadeva. So Srila Vyasadeva, out of compassion, and he had a vision of what was up ahead, right? I mean, Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. He's the literary incarnation of Godhead. He's an incarnation of Godhead. The literary incarnation is Iha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam. You know, that's the Bhagavatam. That's a literary incarnation. And we can accept that God is Trikalagya, right? So both Vyasadeva as the incarnation of Godhead, he'd be Shaktavesh, right? And the Bhagavatam, you know, being the literary incarnation of Godhead, there's this Trikalagya feature of the Lord who can see into the future. So didn't Vyasadeva know that 90% of Indians would be getting technical educations and scientific educations? What's he trying to agitate everyone's mind for with all of these things that just don't connect with all of my training about Big Bang and, you know, Darwinian evolution and, it's like in my face constantly, every page practically, you know, there's something to do with this. You know, I mean, Shastra sometimes can be quite strong, but we get these wake-up calls, you know, to kind of get out of the center of the universe, right? I mean, that's one of the roles. Like, if we examine, you know, the rationale behind Srila Vyasadeva's presentation of creation, and and this is a substantial portion of Sambandha Gyan. Why is it done? Why is it given such prominence? In the previous verse to this Krishne Swadhamo Pagate, this is third chapter, the 40th verse, is Iha Bhagavatam Nama. I just learned it yesterday, so please pray for me that I'll remember. Okay. And then it goes, Puranam Brahma Samhitam. Then Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreya Shaya Lokasha Danyan Swasti Ayanam Mahat. Okay? So The Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of Godhead. Srila Vyasadeva is the compiler, is also an incarnation of God. And the Bhagavatam, Nishreyasa Lokasya, is for the all over benefit of the jivas in this world. And it is danyam, it's all successful, it's swashti ayanam, it's all blissful, and mahat, it's perfect. Okay, so it's infallible. The source, it's shabda praman. Its source is the breathing of Lord Narayan. It's completely infallible. So it's specifically designed to deliver you and me from our nations and to bring us to the point of detachment from the material world that we can take up uttama bhakti. Because we can't do it unless we're detached. Okay, here's a really nice verse from the 11th or the 10th canto, 88th chapter. I'll just read the translation. This comes later on in this chapter. Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated beyond the range of material nature. We got that in today's verse. Therefore, he is the Supreme Transcendental Person. He can see everything inside and outside. Therefore, he is the Supreme Overseer of all living entities. If someone takes shelter at his lotus feet and worships him, he also attains a transcendental position. Okay, so we got that. That was the right answer that the ladies came up with. Sumedasa means very intelligent Vaishnavis. So, actually, it was another reference that I was thinking of. This comes from the 26th chapter of the 4th canto, where Prabhupada describes that unless one is detached from the objects of the senses, he can't seriously take up devotional service. So this actually, these descriptions, and we understand that Krishna is behind this material energy. Okay, and that we're a jiva and we're separate from this material energy. And that Krishna is actually in control of this material energy, it dissipates our enjoying spirit. We see that this is actually Krishna's energy, and it's not something that we should try to enjoy, but because it's Krishna, and if we're observing the Ishavasham principle, then we're going to use it in his service to please him rather than this, I'm the center of the universe, and the constituents of the universe are met for my pleasure. And that is, you know, this antithetical attitude. I mean, this antagonistic attitude to the Supreme Lord is actually what it is. But we want to enjoy aspects of the material energy. We're in competition with the Supreme Lord. Okay, great verse that describes this huge misconception which binds us to the material world and also gives us more and more of an understanding of the strength, the strong statements that come from Shastra that may even upset us when we hear them because they're so strong. They just, you know, turn our self-conception or self-identity upside down even. Sometimes this happens. Right? Has that ever happened to anybody? Bayam duti yabini beshata shad ishadi petasha vipariyo smiti tanmaya yato buddha abhajetam bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. This comes from the second chapter of the 11th canto. And this describes that when fear overcomes the living entity when he misidentifies himself as the body. And this powerful illusion is created by the material energy of the Lord. And when he's in this consciousness of identifying himself as the body, automatically he goes through a Vipariyo Smriti, Prabhupada, NCC. Is it this chapter where this is paraphrased? I think it is. He quotes this, not Krishnadas Kaviraj uses this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse from Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada there translates it, Vipariyo Smriti, that one goes through a role reversal. Instead of seeing oneself as Krishna's servant, one becomes Krishna's competitor. Has anybody ever felt like he's been Krishna's competitor? Like in this sojourn through this lifetime? Has anybody ever felt like he was competing with God? Okay, I don't want to put anybody on the spot here and embarrass anybody, but you know how it is, like when you feel like you're this, when you're thinking yourself to be the center of the universe. Anybody ever felt like that? Like within the last 24 hours? I mean, we got a long ways to go. I mean, I when I teach this, this understanding, you know, the materially grossly conditioned, the jiva grossly conditioned by the material energy. He's on this end of the dais, and on this end is the siddha, the perfected, the fully realized, who's achieved Krishna Prem. On this end, the jiva is thinking himself to be the center of the universe. Every aspect of the universe is there for his enjoyment. Every other jiva is there to manipulate, to increase his enjoyment, to exploit in whatever way he can to enjoy. Okay? On this end of the spectrum, Krishna is the center of the universe. I'm his eternal servant. Every thought, every action, every emotion is meant to please him. Okay? So we're somewhere on this continuum. Okay, so, you know, depending upon how free we are from the bodily conception and how, and to become free from the bodily conception, how do we do that? Bhakti yoga ki jai, right? And as we practice bhakti yoga, then our attachment and love for Krishna increases. A big factor in practicing bhakti yoga is sadhu sangha. This is what pushes us. This is what makes it possible. Srila Prabhupada said that he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that devotees could come together and engage in 6 loving exchanges. And just by doing that, they could fully awaken pure love for God. It's one of the primary. And we're thinking, if I just chant my rounds attentively, to hell with everybody else, you know, and I just do my service and I do it super good and I don't need to talk to anybody. I can be really mean to people if they look at me cross-eyed. And yeah, I can get away with it. But actually, our whole means of advancing is our capacity to properly respect other devotees and exchange according to the formulas that Rupa Goswami enunciates in Upadeshamrita, the 6 loving exchanges, and expertly do this. And because our capacity to chant Hare Krishna, which is the Yuga Dharma, is based upon our freedom from Namaparad, and the primary one is Vaishnavaparad. And if we don't understand how to associate properly and respect other devotees, then we're vulnerable to that offense, which is described as Hatimata, right? It tears apart our garden as we're cultivating the creeper of devotion. Okay, before I make any offenses, maybe I should stop. And okay, are there any questions or comments? There's a lot more to be said about this, but yes, Prabhu.
Say again.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not inside what? He created a temple in his own home. He created Goloka Vrindavan in his own home.
Yeah.
So create Goloka Vrindavan in the Brahmacharya Ashram. It's a question of consciousness, right? His home became Chintamani because his wife, his children, all of his possessions, he used in Krishna service. And every second of every day, you know, he used in Krishna service. Very expert with time management. Avyartha Kala Tvam. This is superior to Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People's Time Management Matrix, Avyartha Kala Tvam. Do you know what it means? You can actually start practicing it, even though it's one of the reliable symptoms of bhava. You can start practicing it now, Dr. Ramey. It means that you don't waste a second of your valuable lifetime. It's something that can be, you know, that on a sudden platform we should try to do. Okay. Did I give you a comprehensive answer, or did I offend you? Huh? Was it comprehensive enough? Is it okay? All right. Anything else? So then, I just extended a little bit more. Okay. So, are you still a musician, Prabhu? No, now you're working hard, right? Okay, so here's a verse. This is Lord Krishna at the solar eclipse at Kurukshetra. Yashatma buddhi kanupe tridatuke swadhi kala tradishu saboma injadi yatirta buddhi shalile nakahichit Janesh Vabhigyeshu Saeva Gokara. One who identifies this inert body as himself, identifies as his self, this inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes that his wife and family are permanently his own, and who sees places of pilgrimages as only the water there and has no affinity nor nor does he worship or even visit those who are enlightened with spiritual truths, he is to be considered no more than a cow or ass. Okay, now, there's one thing I left out. Who considers the land of his birth as worshipable, Boma Ijadi. He's to be considered no better than a cow or an ass. And, you know, I mean, so heavy. And then, you know, this in the Bhagavatam we've been covering all about tigresses and jackals, right? Now, Prabhupada made it really clear, and you know, he would. There was also statements in the Bhagavatam like women are less intelligent. They don't. But Prabhupada said this does not apply to Vaishnavis. But when we're on the sadhana platform, not on the sadhya platform, we may have the tendency, because of not being completely on the transcendental platform, to backslide. Prabhu, you don't ever consider your family members to be permanently your own, do you? Come on, tell the truth now. Okay, all right. We'll let you off the hook. Tendency might be there to think that this is going on forever. I'm not going to die, you know. And right. So wake-up calls. This is what Shastra does. It wakes us up. We get general descriptions of the creation. We can understand this is the material energy. But then we get these graphic descriptions of what an idiot I am. Okay? And I shouldn't, you know, for a lady, I shouldn't henpeck my husband. I should be a positive energy to support him in his devotional service. And then that person, that Vaishnavi, is like a goddess of fortune and is worshipable by her husband, by her children, and by the entire culture, that she plays a dominant role in creating. And nothing to be offended by, right? That, you really weren't offended by that shloka, were you? The shloka that yashat mabudhi, you know, the cow and ass. Did that offend you? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Did you feel offended by it? No. Because you understand that Krishna is just mercifully bestowing upon us an understanding of what to watch out for, not to be caught by the material, by the illusory energy into illusion of thinking myself to be the body and the bodily extensions and their eyeing and mine, and you know, but rather to redirect one's consciousness to the Supreme Lord. And you know, this whole description here actually brings us, this chapter ends with an understanding that Vishnu is perfect. More perfect is Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura, and most perfect is Krishna in Vrindavan. Why? Because Akhilatma Rasamrita Murti, this is the Vastu Nirdesh of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the objective, you know, and to bring everyone's attention to their, like for instance, am I going on a little bit too long here? Maybe I better stop. Just one last point. Ete chamsa kala pumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam. This is the Paribhasa Sutra. This is what the acharyas describe as the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And everything is based on it. Everything expands from that krishnas tu bhagavan swayam. All the other incarnations are portions of Krishna. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. The whole Bhagavatam expands from that. This is what this, you know, this whole this presentation that Lord Chaitanya has given to Sanat Goswami is to focus our minds on Krishna. Because we can have a relationship with him, but we can't have a relationship with him if we're attached to our bodies and the extensions of our bodies, if we're in this conception. I'm a woman, I'm a man. No, it doesn't work that way. So we need to be continually woken up on the sudden platform to the reality that we're not our bodies. We continually have to hear some bandhagyan. Otherwise our chanting won't be freed from anartas. It will be very unsteady. We'll be constantly thinking about how I'm going to control this next situation, how I'm going to enjoy that one, you know, how this person just offended me and how I'm going to get back at him somehow or other. You know, I mean, pramada to the max. Okay, so now, I wonder, I was going to say one thing. Another definition of pramada that's used in the ninth canto, and I didn't say it earlier, but I'll say it now. It's sometimes defined as woman, one who steals away the mind of man. And sometimes it's used as crazy. But see, so like a chaste wife would understand, I shouldn't steal my husband's mind away. I should use my intelligence and my mind to direct his mind and intelligence towards Krishna. This is positive energy. Tigache, was that all right? So I did okay? Did I recover from the last class? Okay. Reasonably well. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any other questions or comments before we take prasadam? Yes, Mataji. Right. Okay. Identify the primary identification. I'll give an example. Okay. In the last class, I did a drama. I won't do another drama. Believe, I'm not a very good actor. Okay. We won't do that one again. We learned our lesson. Okay. Now, but let us say that a playwright has written this powerful drama, and the actors and actresses that are on the stage. Okay, and you've probably, tell the truth, have you ever watched television in this life? Okay, when you've gotten into a really exciting show, like some kind of a thriller, you know, do you forget about everything else? And when the hero, you know, kills everybody, you know, the cop comes and kills all the bad guys, and you feel, oh, wow, that was great. You feel really good about it. You really identify with the hero, right? Or when the hero, you know, his wife gets really upset with him and then he starts crying, okay? And you kind of feel sorry for the poor guy, right? You identify with him. You identify. Okay. But it's an illusion created by the playwright, okay? A higher level of reality is to identify with Radha Gopinath, you know, that I'm his eternal servant, okay? I can still go to the play, but I don't lose it. You know, I can maybe, devotees generally don't watch television, you know, after a few years. They say, yeah, this is really against avyartakalatvam. I'm wasting my valuable lifetime watching this stupid idiot box, right? But nevertheless, it can be fully absorbing. Right? But so material life, or life within the material world, in the grihastha ashram, can also be fully absorbing, and we could so much identify with it that we lose track of Radha Gopinath and our constitutional position. Now, the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken so that Arjuna wouldn't be a rascal and run off and become a beggar and forget his duty. Karmandyavadi karaste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbur mate sangosta karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty. Adhikar. I'm telling you what your duty is. Your adhikar is to fight. You aren't qualified to practice jnana yoga. You're qualified to practice Nishkam Karma Yoga. This is what I'm going to teach you all about. This is what the whole dialogue's about. You're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never be attached to not doing your duty. Okay, grihasthas, we got to do it. We got duties to do. But does that mean we have to become so absorbed in it that, you know, we're so mad when the commercial comes and the television show, you know, because we want to wait and see what happens next, you know? So that's the, you know, that's when we become, if we neglect our sadhana, then that's when that full identification takes place and we lose it. We lose, and hey, you know, Iskan Grihastha Ashram, you know, I mean, it might be in competition with a sannyas ashram in terms of lack of efficacy in fulfilling life's mission, right? You know, we generally haven't done well in that ashram, you know, as a society. It's not, you know, we're getting maybe better. The sannyas ashrams, yeah, grihastha ashram, you know. A lot of room for improvement, let's put it that way, right? So what makes that really different when we're in there and we don't overly identify with the temporary ups and downs of grihastha life? Sadhana. I mean, you know, letter after letter, 10 Mangalartik, chant 16 rounds attentively, 10 Bhagavatam class, push on the movement. It's a little bit like, you know, I sometimes use the analogy. When I was growing up, I used to watch every Sunday night at 7 o'clock the Ed Sullivan show in America. It was a variety show. And every time the Beatles would come to America, they would appear on the Ed Sullivan show. Ed Sullivan show. I've been speaking Bengali so much I can't even pronounce proper English anymore. So they would sometimes have jugglers on the Ed Sullivan show. And one juggling act that I saw many times is they would take plates. The juggler would take a plate and start spinning it on a stick. Okay, and then he put a stick here. And you get another plate spinning. He put another stick here, and there'd be the plate spinning on top of it. And then he got another plate spinning, and he put it right here. And he got another plate spinning, put it on his nose. And he put another plate spinning, put it on his forehead. There are all these plates spinning. And that's a little bit what it's like to be a grihastha. Tigache? Okay, I hope I haven't offended anybody now. Okay. I'm a little gun shy, you know. Okay, go ahead, Rule. Yeah. That's right. Right. But what I'm saying is this. If you compare the content of a day of a brahmachari and the content of a day of a grihastha, the grihastha's got all these plates that he's spinning, and somehow he's got to keep them up there, you know, and balance, keep spinning them, you know. And if one of them falls on his head, you know, my God, you know, what is he going to do? So it's extremely challenging, you know. One does it according to the principle that Rupa Goswami enunciates in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anashaktasya Vishayan Yartaham Upayunjata Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Muchate. Without being attached to the object of the senses, he engages in Krishna's service, and then that person, you know, seeing him as connected with Krishna, this is Krishna's energy, and that person's properly situated in renunciation. In America, we would make a joke about, okay, this is, okay, I don't want to get any brahmacharis mad now. Okay, but we used, it was called the creamsicle. Okay, in America, there's a sweet that you can buy. It's called the creamsicle. It's vanilla ice cream, and it has an orange sugar coating on it, you know. And so did everybody get the joke? Okay, it's a saffron covered, okay, you got it, okay. Okay, did I get anybody mad at me? So better to be an honest sweeper of the street or an honest grihastha than a creamsicle. See, now we get the, you know, now we got them all mad at me and you're laughing. Okay. All right. Okay, Hare Krishna. Enough of this American humor. We're going to have someone come in here and... All right, so any other points before we take Mahaprasada Govinde? Okay, Prabhu, you wanted to say one more thing? But that's one of the reasons that Prabhupada stressed deity worship for grihasthas, that they would have difficulty with, they would fall down if they didn't do that, because then the deity becomes the owner of everything in the house. I was always a book distributor, so I never got into it. You know, that's probably why I never advanced very much, you know, as a grihastha. So I didn't, you know, they didn't let me do it. I was always out on Sankirtan, you know. Temple presidents, I was a victim of temple presidents, just sending them out in Sankirtan. So I'm culturally deprived, but never really got a chance to worship the deities very much. So, but that's the high idea, you know, that everything in this house belongs to you. And so if you have a, and I've seen some grihasthas that have just an amazing deity worship, to personalize that. You know, this belongs to Radha Gopinath. Somehow or other, this is the mood that has to be there in order for it to be successful. Otherwise, the tendency will be just to, it's mine, you know, and then, you know, all the false ego business just increases rather than decreases. But ultimately, you know, if one stays with the process as a grihastha, he becomes very detached. And back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a big part of his preaching mission, because he came in a time when Gaudiya Vaishnavism was in disrepute, and there were many Bubbas wearing white, and they had their rasa leelas. You know, there was really a lot of Prakrita Sahajiyism. That was kind of the standard, you know, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he, you know, with 11 children, one of them being a ray of Vishnu, you know, he proved the efficacy of the grihastha ashram. And one of his ray of Vishnu, his ray of Vishnu child, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, is Naishtiki Brahmachari. He made the famous statement, "I'm prepared to have sex hundreds of times if I knew that I could have one God-conscious child," something like that. So he recognized his limitations. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "My Guru Maharaj, his mission was to create brahmacharis and sannyasis. 90% was his mission was to create brahmacharis and sannyasis, and 90% of my mission is to create grihasthas." You know, and so Prabhupada had all that experience in the grihastha ashram, you know, to let us know. And his is an example, you know. His grihastha ashram became hellish because his wife didn't imbibe the mood of positive energy to support him in his service to Krishna. So he left. What, another point? Well, there's different points of view between the husband and wife, and sometimes they, usually based on a bit of compromise, right? How to raise the children properly. So he went to Scottish Church's College, and it played a role in his preaching, because he often would reference it, and, you know, because of his level of education, he was given more respect. You know, and this is a big point in India, right? Okay, I'd better keep my big mouth shut now. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'll go to Prabhupada.